You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Hey, this is Butch Patrick. That's right, Eddie Munster. And it's almost Halloween. If you're listening to me, you're listening to Canned Air Podcast.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Canned Air, your tribute to comics and pop culture. I am Jeremy Colley.
I'm Jack Doherty.
And I'm Randy Hardenbrock.
And joining us today, we welcome actor, violinist, vocalist, pianist, dancer. Where does it stop with this one? Ladies and gentlemen, you might have seen her in the new movie Concrete Cowboys, Liz Priestley. Liz, thank you so much for being here.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. It's a pleasure. I'm excited.
I am too. It's going to be really fun to talk with you. You've got so much under your belt. Where do you find time to sleep? My God, seriously.
There's a good majority of those things that you listed that I haven't done in a little while. I think that's all just kind of a part of my history, but please do not be under any illusions that I do all of those things every day, because that's just simply not true.
You might sell yourself a little bit short there, but we'll find that out here in just a little bit. But before
unless you count humming in the shower as singing, because then, yeah, I do that every day. Totally.
Well, shoot, I'm a singer then, too.
Exactly.
We all are singers then, awesome. Aren't we?
I'm amazing.
No, I'm not.
Nope.
But before we get to talking with Liz, don't forget to find us on Twitter at CannedAirPod and on Instagram at Canned_Air. And if you want to throw some support toward the show, if you like what you're hearing, want to get some more of that content, patreon.com/CannedAirPod. $5 a month gets you access to the Canned Air Patreon pod and other goodies like pins and lights and all kinds of crap with our logo on it. I mean, where does it end, people? Where does it end? Gentlemen, what am I forgetting?
Well, if you're not doing anything Tuesday nights at 9 p.m. Eastern, hop on Facebook and join Jack and I as we play some Jackbox games and make fools of ourselves and have some fun. So
you really need to work on your marketing strategy there. That didn't sound too enticing. Say it's going to be a great time. We're not going to make asses of ourselves. We're just going to have the best time you've ever had.
But we that really will.
That would be a lie.
That'll be the Easter egg.
Kind of the draw, though. It's like, we're going to make asses of ourselves. Well, I'm definitely going to watch for that.
Well, okay. Liz has a point there.
Thank you, Liz.
I mean, why else did we ever watch America's Funniest Home Videos?
I've known you all 30 seconds, but I definitely want to see you make asses of yourselves. Because how is that not funny? You're like,
I'm sure it'll happen.
What kind of a production error
are
they going to make this week?
Oh, one more thing before we move on. If you are in need of professional representation of any kind, if you're a podcaster, actor, singer, whatever it might be, Steve Joyner might just be the publicist for you at 816-605-4561. Once again, 816-605-4561. Is that everything, gentlemen?
I believe so.
All right, well, let's just get right to talking with Liz about, again, everything she has under her belt here. I would imagine you had to have started at a very young age with everything you've been doing.
Yeah, about age 4 was when I started playing violin. And I
4 years old. That's incredible.
All right, so background on that, though. So I come from a very musical family. I have 5 sisters. We all played instruments. I'm the 4th out of 6. So they were all playing, you know, by the time I was 4. So it was kind of like, oh, I want to do what they're doing, you know. But I started violin around age 4, and I kept that up until about age 24-ish. I still play, but I don't take lessons after about 24-ish. And then, yeah, I started, I I trained as a classical opera singer starting at age 14. I've kept that up. I also studied musical theater in college, so I've kept that up. And that's where the dancing comes in. I mean, I don't know if I'm really a dancer anymore. I used to be. No. And then acting, that was like, you know, ever since I was about 6 or 7. It was like, you know, when you're a kid and you watch, like, so when I was a kid, it was like, oh, I don't know, like the Mighty Ducks and like those kinds of movies coming out. And I would, you know, I would enjoy the movie, but then in the back of my head, I'd be like, yeah, but do they really play hockey? Like, how are they doing that? Who does that? Who makes the movies? How do I, that you can play, pretend for a living and get paid? I want to do that. Like, how, you know? And then it was like, you know, school plays all the way up through college and then after college. And now I'm making my movie debut. So it's been kind of a roundabout way to get to what I've always wanted to do, which was I wanted to be the girl that made the movies. I just kind of did everything else in the meantime, because why not?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Why not? Yeah. It sounds like you might have a seed in you to be a producer based on the way you were examining the Mighty Ducks. I mean, credit we see on that IMDb here in a few years, huh?
I've always said I don't think I have a director's eye, but I definitely could produce. So maybe.
That's cool.
We'll see. I have to do a couple of things first, though.
Heard it here. First, folks.
Yeah. Exclusive canned air.
There it is. There it is. Now, something you just mentioned right there was a classically trained opera singer. My God, of all, I've played music. I've sang in bars and stuff. And, you know, like we were talking earlier, in the shower, you know, just that's where I'm the best singer, is in the shower. But to be an opera singer, I mean, that's like some next level stuff. You said you're still doing opera?
I mean, I still do it here and there. I don't really do as much singing now as I used to. And it's funny. So I'm from Philly. I'm still here. And everybody that knew me growing up and in high school and everything, they only know me as a singer. So like this whole movie thing for them is just like, where did this come from? Like, they just don't get it. You know what I mean? Like, they're just like, well, that's great. Are you still singing? And I'm like, well, kind of here and there, not really. Not at all. Sorry. You know, it was like around the time that I decided I didn't want to play violin professionally. I was just like, it's a hobby, you know. Mm-hmm. My parents were like, you should try to keep up your musical abilities. Try something else. Just pick something. And I was literally like, singing. Let's try that, you know. And they found a voice teacher for me who was herself an opera singer. And after my first lesson, she called my parents and she said, look, I normally don't take students under the age of 16. And I was 14 at the time. But she's like, she's really good. I would like to take her on, and we're just going to go for it. And they were like, sure. So that started, and she, you know, we trained in opera. And it's like, you know, if you're singing opera, you got to learn your Italian arias and your French arias and your German songs. And she was the kind of teacher that if we were singing in Italian, you had to show up at your lesson, and she'd say, okay, and she'd open the book and say, what does this word mean in English? And if you didn't know, close the book, give it to you, and be like, go home.
Wow.
And if you were 5 minutes into the lesson, it didn't matter. But she was like, if you're going to sing in this language, you need to know what you're saying. So it was that, you know, kind of training up until college and then through college and beyond. So, yeah, kind of intense, but it's fun.
Of all the operas you've done, do you have a favorite particular language? Like, do you lean more towards the German or the...
I think... I probably lean towards the Italian because that's what I started with. Commonly, when you start in opera, you begin in Italian. I guess because it's the easiest, but I think it's also the most common. So I just, you know, I tend to have a love for the Italian part. But when I was in college, so I went, you know, for musical theater, but there was an opera program at my school and they did an opera every year. And they did a couple German ones while I was there. And I was just like, these are beautiful. Like I got a new appreciation for them during college. So It's funny though. I'm glad I did all of that. I don't really miss it. Like, I'm glad I had the training and all of, you know, the different things and, you know, learning to perform live and doing concerts and having that, you know, immediate feedback and everything. But it was always like, this is a stepping stone to get to where I want to get to. I'm, you know, glad I'm good at it, but this is where I want to go. So, you know.
Yeah. It seems much more tedious.
Might get that acting part that you have to belt out something in some opera, though, too. So that'll help out. It could help out in the long run.
It definitely does. I mean, everything from, like, the discipline of, I mean, when I was still playing violin, when I was taking lessons, I was up to about 5-6 hours of practicing a day, which would be split up some, like, before school and after school. But, I mean, if you're doing anything for 5 to 6 hours a day, you can pretty much do anything. Like, it just teaches you discipline. So with the acting stuff, you know, I've had... you know, I've had auditions where it's like they've sent me, you know, 5 or 6 pages of dialogue overnight and they say, we need you to have this memorized by tomorrow. That's not a problem for me because I can absolutely sit there for 5 hours and be like, okay, got it. You know what I mean? And then when you're filming, it's hurry up and wait, right? You get there. You may be called to set at noon, but you're not getting in front of the camera until 6 o'clock. So it's like,
oh my God.
For that 6 hours, you got to figure out, like, you can't go wandering off. You can't, you know, do what you can't take a nap because you can't ruin your hair or the makeup that you got in when you first got there. So you have to figure out, what am I going to do for the next 6 hours so I can stay focused and I can be ready to go? But, you know, it's, yeah.
Yeah.
I think playing instruments prepared me for all of that. So
I would say so, especially after the teacher.
Sounds miserable, but it's really fun. It's really fun.
No, I get it. When someone drives you that hard, I mean, it might irritate you at first, but yeah, when you come through the other side of it, you're like, man, I'm so glad they did.
Yeah. And especially if it's something you love. I mean, eventually I got to a point with violin. I was like, I don't love this anymore. I like it, but I don't love it. Acting for me has always been something I loved. And so, like, for this film, it was so funny because I got a trailer on this film. So this is my first film. So I've never even had, like, experienced any of this. So it's like, you know, I show up and they're like, let's take you to your trailer. And I'm like, you know, but then I sit in my trailer for 6 hours. So it's like the novelty of having a trailer wears off after about 45 minutes. And then you're like,
guess I'll just go stand out there and watch them film.
It's like they were shooting several blocks away. So there was nothing for me to watch. And most of the people that were called were already on set. So there was, like, no one for me to talk to. Like, it was just, like, me sitting in the trailer on my phone, like, I'm going to watch some Golden Girls. Like, you know what I mean? Just like, how do I kill the time? But also, it's like, I was super nervous. And, I mean, it's Idris Elba. So it's like, I'm not going to take a nap. You know what I mean? Like, I'm sitting there being like, is it ready? Am I ready? Is it time? I'm ready. Just tell me when, you know? So
That's so freaking cool. And I have to ask, you know, these friends you spoke of earlier that when you said you were getting into acting, they're like, oh, well, aren't you singing? Like, do they still have the same reaction after being in a role right next to Idris Elba?
it's actually... It's really funny watching people's reaction. Like, so on Facebook, because that's the only social media I have, not for long, I'm sure. But here, watching people's reacting on Facebook has been so funny. And there's, like, a little part of me that feels, like, very vindicated and justified. Like, I'm like, yeah, this thing that I've been talking about for 20 years, this, I'm doing it now. And they're just
told ya.
We had no idea. You were, you know, it's like, yeah, I've only been talking about it since, you know, since I was this high. But
yeah.
It's cool. Yeah. No, they're just shocked. You know, it's like one thing to be like, oh, I want to be an actor. And they're just like, well, yeah, you and everyone else, right? But then it's like, no, not only am I an actor, I just did a film. And not only did I do a film, I'm with, you know, Idris Elba and Caleb McLaughlin. And they're floored by it. They're just, what? Wait, are you like an extra? No, I'm his wife. let that sink in for you. Okay.
Want to ask me about singing now?
Do you take me seriously now? So yeah, it's been kind of cool to, there's a little part of me that's like bragging a bit.
Well, hell shouldn't you brag your ass off? You know, absolutely.
I'm just gonna stay humble. It's like, but there's, a little part of me that's like,
being someone who brags and being arrogant are two different things. As long as you don't mix the two, I think you're going to be just fine.
Could be that fine line in between the two, though.
Yeah.
Right. It's walking
that tight line. I'm trying to walk that line very carefully. But
it's so funny because, we've been doing this show now 7 years, and this is a much smaller scale than what you're talking about. But over time, we've tried to tell people about the show. And, people that I know sometimes will just kind of look at you, a podcast. And just that word in itself can be very dismissive to people. But then I haven't talked to this person, say, in a year and a half. And all of a sudden my phone's like ding, 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 ding. Like,
oh, man.
All this attention because they took the time to look into it. Okay, this is kind of cool. And there is a part of me sometimes like, oh, that's cool. But like, you son of a bitch, why are you just now reaching out to me?
I've been telling you about this forever. Yeah, it's like, obviously my family has been very supportive and everything, but I've been doing theater in Philly and New York and DC and a bunch of other places for about 25 years now. I can probably count on one hand the number of shows my family has gone out to see, not counting my parents, they're great. But I mean, like my sisters, they came up in college to see shows that I was in, but I think since college, it's been like, maybe one or two here and there. So yeah, it's kind of nice because I've been saying so long, like, I'm an actor, I'm an actor, I'm an actor, I'm an actor. And they're like, yeah, we know. You're auditioning. And you're like, no, yeah, I am auditioning, And, it's so funny. Like I said, my parents have been very supportive, but even they, I think they were trying to toe that line of like, want you to pursue your dreams, we want you to be happy, but we also want you to be realistic, okay? Like, maybe work in an office. Just saying, fallback plan, I'm like, well, if I have a fallback plan, I'm not going to do that. You know what I mean? Like, I'll always know that I have a backup plan. So let me just go do that, and I'll, So it's been especially cool for my parents to be like, oh, she's never given up. She's, she's been talking about this since she was 7. So it's nice to be like, oh, I made it. Oh.
And I'm sure sometimes in the neighborhood they can drop the fact like, she was just in a movie with Future Self.
Yeah. She swore. My mom lets it slip. Well, Liz is not. She's in a little movie with, Future Self. She just says it all casual.
All right. I got to know, Liz, as a sibling that, my younger sibling and I have somewhat of a rivalry going a lot of times. How did you tell your siblings that you were in a movie with Idris Elba? Was it just kind of nonchalantly, or did you just like walk in, mic drop, and walk off?
Oh, no. Well, so when I got cast in the movie, right, I told them, I don't know if they really believed or if they really knew the extent of it. I think at that point it was like, she's going to be in a movie. It's with Idris Elba. And that's it. Like, they weren't like, she's his wife, she's going to be in a scene. It was just like, she's going to be in a movie, he's also in it. So I think there was that. My parents were away on a cruise when I found out, so I had to call them like in the middle of the ocean. I had to wait until they had like reception to be like, I got it. And they were both like, that's great. Like, I don't think it really, Like, it's like,
well, yeah.
Then it wasn't until the day that I shot my big scene with Idris. So what had happened was I got in very nice and close with the costume and the hair and makeup people, which I recommend all actors make nice with your hair and makeup and costume people. Because then what happened was during the shooting of the scene, they were both parked out by the monitors and started taking pictures. And they texted them to me. So I have all these wonderful pictures of Idris and I that I have not been able to post anywhere or share, and it's really annoying. But as soon as I was done shooting, I texted them to my sisters, and that's when they were like, holy shit, Idris! And I'm like, yeah, I was serious about that. I can show you the one. Hang on.
Yeah. So may I ask why you're doing that? Why are you not allowed to post these?
Because the movie hasn't come out yet. So I have to be, I've been very careful. I've been making sure I don't post anything that hasn't already been shown, because I don't want to get a phone call from a producer somewhere being like, Liz, can you please take that off your Facebook? And I'll be like, oh, or worse, I don't want to get fired. I don't know if you can see that.
Oh, hell yeah, that is awesome.
Yeah. So that was one of the pictures I texted to my sisters and on the group text, and that just set off a whole shame. They could not. They were like, holy shit, you were for real. I'm like, yeah. And then, suddenly it was like, hey, can we invite him over to our house for like Christmas? Like, and I was like, he's newly married. They're like, tell her she can come too. Like, you know.
Yeah, because you're immediately best friends, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I was like, yeah, let me go invite him. You know, it was like it was all I had to be able to go up to him and talk to him for like 10 minutes between shots, like set up. So sure. I was like, yeah, let me just walk over there and be like, hey, what you doing for Christmas?
That would have gone over so well, probably, right?
Yeah, I don't think so. I did rap to him, though. I thought that was funny because, you know, he's an actor, he's a DJ,
right?
And now he's a rapper as well. And of course, when I got cast, I started blasting his song "Boasty" for like 3 weeks straight, and then we're sitting there, like I said, chit chatting, and I was like, oh, you know, and I hear you're a rapper now too, and he's like, I was like, no, you're absolutely a rapper. And then I rapped the last line of his verse of that song to him, and he just laughed at me. In case you couldn't tell by my voice, I am not a rapper in like the slightest. So when I rapped, he was literally like, I was like, shut up.
It's like, whatever, dude. I know opera. Shut up.
Yeah, really.
So nah, I was already under the impression this movie was out, but you just said it has not been released yet. So
it hasn't been. It debuted at the Toronto Film Festival on the first week of September, and now we are waiting to hear who is winning out the negotiations. I've heard that there are certain interested parties. I'm not allowed to say who, but the last I heard was that. I don't want to say that either. I think okay. It'll be soon. I would say early, very early in the new year would be awesome. When to look for it. As far as whether it'll be in a theater or on a streaming service, I'm not sure yet.
Nowadays, it's like tomato. It seems like movies do just as well on streaming as they do in the theaters, if not better.
Crazy. And they did, I heard they did, right before the film festival, they did a screening of the movie in LA at a drive-in theater. So who knows? I mean, you know, drive-ins are making a huge comeback right now. Yeah. So maybe they'll do that. And then the streaming, I have no idea, but I just need to get out. It's getting to a point now where people are like, did you make it up? Did you Photoshop those pictures? Like for, it's been so long and we haven't heard anything about this. Like, did you, Liz, were you really in this movie? And I'm like,
they really don't want to believe you, do they?
They really don't. It's like, guys, I couldn't even make this up if I tried. Right. This is the most surreal moment of my life.
you even give them a picture and they're like, but.
Now, they're like, Photoshop. Liz, that's so sad. That's so sad and pathetic.
The proof or it didn't happen type of thing right now.
Like, come on. It really happened.
That's funny. So this movie, Concrete Cowboys, is this a remake of the older film, or is this its own entity?
No, this is its own entity. This was a story based on the book Ghetto Cowboy by Greg Neary. And it's basically, it's about, you know, the black cowboys in Philadelphia. And it's set, that's the framework, is the black cowboys that exist in Philadelphia. And that's all true, by the way. They really do exist. Some of those cowboys are in our movie as cowboys. Wow. So it's really cool. But then the story is a father-son story because, you know, my son, Caleb McLaughlin, you know, he's acting up at school. He's just... I'm at the end of my rope with him, and I'm like, I'm taking you to your dad. I'm dumping you on his doorstep, and it's, you are now his problem. And he's never known him for 15 years. He's never known him. So it's learning who his father is, but then also learning who his father is in the context of him being the leader of this group of cowboys. That he's like, what do you mean there's black cowboys in Philly? What? Like, that's the story. So,
okay. That sounds really good. I saw a teaser and I'm intrigued. I want to see it. It looks cool.
The teaser I saw was so funny, where he walks in and there's a horse in his dad's house. And I saw that and I laughed hysterically. I was like, I cannot wait to see this. I can't wait. I read the book, but I mean, I can't wait to see this. I think people are going to be really surprised by Caleb in particular. I mean, Idris, they're all going to be just like, oh, he's a cowboy and he's shirtless. Like, I mean, come on. But, you know, and that was, again, make nice with your costume people, because he was buttoned up until my scene. And the costume person was like, let's just get rid of three of these buttons over here. One, two, three. And then she walked by me and she's like, you're welcome. Yeah. What did you just do, Teresa? You know, it's awesome. It's awesome. Yeah, my boyfriend will never let me live it down, the fact that I did not kiss him in this movie. There, I gave you a spoiler. I did not kiss him in this movie.
Oh, man, I'm going right to the presses with that.
In the script. It was not written in the script. That's why I didn't do it. He's like, you didn't just... take advantage. It's Idris Elba. I was like, it's my first movie. I'm not going to be that actress that's like, I know this isn't written, but whatever. I'm just going to feel it out and do my thing.
Yeah.
So come on in, bring it in. Like, I'm not going to be that one. I was like, I felt the moment. I did what was required of me. I was trying to be the professional, but.
Yeah.
Just try to work it in somewhere with the script. I'm gonna try to lay one on right now.
It's so funny because apparently the kiss was originally written in there. I found out the next day from the director, and he goes, "Yeah, we had it in there, and then we took it out. But I figured, you know, if you really wanted to, you would have just done it." I was like,
"Oh man,
jaw on the floor! Oh my god!"
Can I get a reshoot, please?
Yeah.
That's what I said. You're the director. Can't you just, like, order a reshoot? And he literally laughed in my face. He's like, oh, if only.
Yeah, it's one thing if... It's one thing if someone's telling you to do it, but it's, you know, you don't know how a person's going to react. You know, somewhere down the road, they could be like, Idris, would you like to work with Liz again? Wait, is she the one that just kissed, like, grabbed me and started kissing me?
Yeah, really.
Get her back.
Like, oh, no. And I think, you know, it's really embarrassing. I think there was one take where he did kind of lean down, like he was, and I full on panicked because I was not ready. I was not expecting it. And so it's literally like, I'm in the scene and I'm literally like, uh-huh, no, God, no. That was the shot of me going, no. Yeah,
that's the one that they got.
I could have. I panicked. I full on panicked. I have no regrets. I got to touch the man. I'm happy. I could die happy.
I would say,
there you go.
I hugged him. I was like, this is it. This is good. I'm fine.
Right. No kidding. And for being your debut, that's incredible as well. I mean, typically a lot of people have to do a lot of no-name roles and stuff before anything like this happens. Your first role.
Yeah, it was. I mean, you know, I'm glad they didn't tell me ahead of time. I sort of figured out for myself halfway through the audition process exactly what the role was, because they did not say ahead of time, this is the part that's going to be the wife to his character. They just sort of sent me the script and they said, oh, it's the mom. And I'm reading it and I'm like, oh, that's nice. And then the back of my head, I'm like, Idris Elba's in Philly doing a movie about cowboys. Didn't think of it. And then, like, the second audition I had, excuse me, I'm reading through, and I'm like, who's playing the husband? Like, who? Well, I know Idris is in this movie. Pretty sure he's playing the guy. This must be the wife of Idris. And then that's like, okay, well, I'm not going to get that part. I'm probably maybe a stand-in. Like, maybe they're looking for someone to be the height of, like, Kerry Washington, maybe. And, like, maybe I'll get that part, which is fine. I mean, totally, I would do it. So, again, like, I'm still not thinking that I'm really up for it. And then around the third audition was when I was like, oh, shit, really? Like, you're really? Me? Really? You know? Like, oh. You know, and I heard, like, the director around the third audition, the director was like, I want her. And the producer, or at least one, maybe more producers were like, we should probably look at getting a name, you know, Carrie or someone like that. I don't know. But maybe we should look into getting a name so we can guarantee butts and seats. And the director was like, I like her. Let's go with her. Nice. So yeah. Yeah. I don't know to what extent Idris had any say over that. I have no idea, but I did not meet him, which is unusual for an audition like that. I didn't meet him or Caleb until I showed up on set for my first day. So
that's something else. It's crazy how that process works. That reminds me, some time ago, we had Toro Masamune on the show. He's an actor who portrayed the Shredder in the first Michael Bay Turtles movie. And he said something very similar. He said, you know, I had auditioned. They called me in. And he goes, I never knew really what I was supposed to play. I thought maybe just an extra, a foot soldier. And then he's who am I supposed to be anyway? Oh, you're the main bad guy. And he's like, whoa, what?
Yeah. It was like, I mean, I was reading it and I'm like, it's clearly the mom, but I'm nobody. Like, I have no film credits on my resume. I have no, you know, like, they don't know me. So maybe, you know, I can be the stand-in when Carrie needs to go to the bathroom. And then the rest of the scenes, I'll be like shopper number four in the back with my little shopping cart and, you know, something like that. I just never thought that I'd be seriously considered until the end. But meanwhile, I mean, I went all in for the audition because the part as written at that time versus how she ends up in the movie was not the same. In the movie, she's a nurse. She's very professional. She's, you know, in the audition, she was a drug addict about to be evicted. That was the scene, was her. The cops were giving her like 10 minutes to grab whatever she could out of her house before she was being evicted. So it was a much darker role. And I mean, I didn't sleep for like 48 hours, so I looked really gross. I showed up with like a scarf in my hair and like horrible makeup, and I was crying. And so I went all in for the audition. I'm thinking that's what made them be like, huh, all right, she's going for it. All right. But like I said, what I ended up playing was very different. So
sure.
That's a pretty extreme thing to have to go on an audition for all of a sudden, just to be like some drugged out, busted person going in to clean up your stuff out of nowhere. And then especially for the role that you played. So,
yeah. And I, you know, like I said, at that point, I didn't think I was being seriously considered, but the casting director had seen me several times before, and she's always called me in for, I call them target moms, those commercials where it's like, who's ready for school? Like, I'm that mom. I'm very good at that. So I really just wanted to see, I wanted her to see me do something different. It had nothing to do with, will I actually get the part? I just wanted her to know, oh, we can call her in for some dramatic stuff too. So I really, like I said, I had no like idea I was even being seriously considered for it until the end, which was probably a good thing because I think it would have made me very nervous before that.
Absolutely, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I think it's a true testament, honestly, to your talent, the fact that, you know, like you said, your IMDb only has a couple little things on there, and they still were like, no, we don't want the big name. We want to get her. Sounds like you're going to be a big name pretty soon, though.
I hope hope so. Well, thank you. Yeah, I mean, you know, it was cool. I was in the same boat as Ricky, the director, Ricky Staub, and also Caleb McLaughlin, in a way, because this is his first big film. I mean, he's done Stranger Things, but he has not headlined a film before. So this was his first big thing. It was my first big thing. And it's Ricky's first feature film. He's only done short films. So the three of us at different points would just kind of look at each other like, can you believe? Can you believe this is happening? Are you ready? Are you ready for this? You know what I mean? So I just, you know, I hope that, because I know Ricky's going to go on to do amazing things. I just want it to be like, so you know how like Quentin Tarantino like works with the same people all the time? Like, remember this face. Just remember me. That's what I'm hoping happens. And, you know, I've got Caleb's number in my phone. I saw him on Lip Sync Battle, and he was doing a song, and he, like, ripped his shirt open, and I texted him. I was like, Caleb, it's your mother. Put your shirt on. He did not. I was like, dang. But, you know, I hope he'll remember me someday and be like, that was my mom, you know. So we'll see what happens. But honestly, if I do nothing else, if I never get cast in another movie, I mean, I hope I do, but this will be the movie I'm going to be telling the grandkids about. Like, let me tell you about my first movie.
Gather around.
You know what I mean? Like, This is the story that I could die happy and be like, I did it. You know what I mean? So.
Oh, absolutely. That is so awesome. Congratulations to you for that. Now, I know this has been a rough time of year, and a lot of production and stuff is shut down. So I want to ask, what else is in the pipeline? What's new and next for you? Or is anything lined up yet?
I'm taking it easy a little bit. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm auditioning, but COVID really threw a lot of things in. Yeah, it's so we're basically waiting to see what happens when the movie comes out. I am writing as well. I do write. I'm working on a web series and a screenplay. And so one of the good things about being in quarantine and all that is I've had so much time to write. Mm-hmm. So I've been able to connect with a few actors and we've been sort of developing those. So I think those will probably be next down the pipeline for me, unless, of course, you know, I happen to land some kind of commercial or something. I don't know. But that's it. Yeah, I'm taking it easy. I'm writing a lot, and we'll see what happens after that.
Yeah. One day at a time. That's all we can do.
One day at a time, you know. It's like I'm enjoying it for what it is right now.
And sure.
When the movie does come out, I'm really excited to see what the reaction will be. Somebody tweeted about me after the festival, and I was just like, that's crazy. That's crazy. So I'm excited to see what happens.
Someone tweeted about you, and all you have is a Facebook? You don't even have the Twitter to see it?
No. So my mom has like Google alerts set for me. Uh-huh. And so my name popped up when she clicked on it. She was like, oh, Liz. And then she screenshotted it. And it was a reviewer that had gone to the festival. And she said something like, oh, I'm so taken with the actress who plays Cole's mother. And I just found out it was her first film. And I was like, oh, it's me. And like, you know, like I've never met this person. And that was cool. That was cool.
It's going to be really cool in about another year when people see this episode and you're huge. Everyone knows your name. And we're like, yeah, we were one of the first to get her. That's going to be awesome.
That would be awesome. Well, I mean, you know.
Just remember us back then when you are famous. The come on. Right.
Yeah, we want Oscar invites.
Yeah.
You guys have no idea how much fun this kind of stuff is for me. So I'm like, I'm keeping everybody's information. I'm going to be like, I have more to promote. Can I come back on? You know, that's good. You're going to be so sick of me.
No, I was just going to say when the movie drops and just anytime you want, you are welcome back. This has been more than a blast.
No, you guys, this is so fun. I could talk with you all day.
So on Facebook, people just should search your name.
Yes, under Liz Priestley, you can find me. And you could also follow me on IMDb under Liz Priestley. But that's it. I don't have any social media. I'm boring. If I had an Instagram, it would just be pictures of, like, my feet being like, happy Tuesday. Like, I don't know.
That's better content than what I'm seeing on there typically, so.
Yeah.
I'm sure it'll happen, but right now, Facebook or IMDb. That's
I totally get it. I'm not one for social media. We only do it for the show because we have to. If it yes, wasn't for that, I would be out. Well, Liz, this has been absolutely just a blast. Again, you are welcome back anytime. You are so funny, very charming. You have a home here. So thank you so much for being here with us this evening.
That's so great. Thank you.
And Jack, what have we on the website, sir?
Go to candairpodcast.com where you can see show highlights, guest info, listen to the show, follow us on all our social media, see some of our YouTube videos, buy some merch, become a patron, and if you'd like to be a guest and promote your work, send us an email on our contacts page.
And once again, don't forget to find us on Twitter at @CannedAirPod and on Instagram at @Canned_Air. And again, patreon.com/CannedAirPod. $5 a month, extra content, enough said. What else do I need to say? I've been saying it, people. Haven't I been saying it? Go over there. Just go to our website. Click the link. And what else am I forgetting? We have merch, too. New shirt vendors. Remember that expensive merch we used to have? Well, it's gone. We've got cheaper merch now. And when I see people say cheaper, I mean cheaper in price, not cheaper in quality, because I like the shirt.
Yes.
That's how you market, Randy.
Noted, Jeremy. Thank you.
Am I forgetting anything, gentlemen?
Yes, 9 p.m. Tuesdays. Come laugh with us. Come cry with us. Jackbox on Facebook.
See, now I feel I made too big of an impact on your marketing for your show. I'm sorry. I wish I wouldn't have said anything.
I'm just going to go stand in the corner.
Randy. You just do you. Tune in if you want to see him make an ass of himself. I'm going back to the original script. All right, everyone. I think that's going to do it. Liz, you, your sisters, and Idris are welcome to the Canned Air Christmas this year. Just go ahead and make that happen.
Oh, well, thank you. Thank you so much. They're going to be very excited to hear that.
I'm sure. I'm sure they will be. But until next time, I am Jeremy Colley.
I'm Jack Doherty.
I'm Randy Hardenbrook.
I'm Liz Priestley.
Thank you so much for listening, and be excellent to each other, everyone. From outside.
Blowtorch!
Whenever there's a fire in your house, be sure to get outside immediately. And once outside, get on CannedAirPodcast.com.
Well, thanks for the tip, Blowtorch, but just one question. What about the fire?
And no one is half the battle.
G.I. Joe!
Hello.
Hello? There she is. Hi, Liz. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. Let me turn on my camera. I didn't anticipate this, so you're not going to get a good look at anything. There we are. How are you? It's good to see you.
I don't think I have it right because I can't see you, but that's just because I'm not technologically, you know.
Oh, I see. So I just gave up my identity for no reason, is what you're telling me.
I mean, it's too late now.
This has been a Canned Air production.
I'm Ken Harbaugh, host of Warriors in Their Own Words, a podcast that presents the unvarnished, unsanitized truth of what we have asked of those who defend this nation. As a country, we need these stories more than ever. Stories from Americans who have borne the battle, including 30-year-old remastered interviews with veterans from World War I recounting their time in the trenches of Europe, and with veterans from World War II, Korea, Vietnam, and from our most recent conflicts in Iraq, Afghanistan, and other battlefields Americans may never have heard of. Hear their stories by listening to Warriors in Their Own Words wherever you find podcasts.